Today's daf is daf Yod, and we're going to begin 7 lines from the top. Yesterday we learned, the last gemara we learned yesterday, was the concept of Hichon L'Kras L'Kech Yisrael. That before somebody davens, he has to properly prepare himself. And the gemara gives us a number of examples. Rav Arafuna Rami Pozmaki Matzli. Rav Arafuna used to put on shoes and daven. Amar, he said, the pasuk says, "Hichon l'kras l'kech Yisrael." Person has to prepare himself before he davens. And Tosfos says that the only time during the year a person is allowed to daven without wearing shoes is Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Every other time, a person has to be careful to wear shoes when he davens. Rava shada glime. Rava would take off his coat, upacha yadei, and clasp his hands, umatzli, and that's the way he davened. Omar, he would say, "Av de kame mori." I'm standing like a servant in front of his boss. Omar Ravashi. So Ravashi said, "Chazina le Rav Kahana." I saw Rav Kahana. Ki ikat sara ba'alma. In a time of distress in the world, shada glima, he would take off his coat, opacha yadei, and clasp his hands, omatzli, and that's the way he used to stand in tefillah. Omar, he would say, "Av de kame mori." I'm davening like a servant in front of his master. However, Kika Shama, when there was peace in the world, Lovish, Umiskasi would put on a coat or a jacket, Umisatev put on a talis, Umatzli. Omar, he said, Hichon L'Kras Elokech Yisrael. The right thing to do is to prepare yourself properly before you daven. And that's the Haloch L'Maisa. The Haloch L'Maisa is that a person has to prepare himself before he davens. The Beis Yosef says, what is preparing? The preparation is according to how a person, the style of what is worn, where you live. In other words, if you live in a place where if you go see the president, you put on a suit, so the right thing is to do something like that. If you live in a different area, everything is based on the way it is where you live. That's the halacha. The Gemara says here that they used to daven with clasped hands. So it's not really that much aminig anyway to daven with clasped hands, but the Gemara says they did it. But one thing that the Rizal says the person should not do is daven with his fingers intertwined with each other. That's not the way Jews daven. The interesting shaila that the Imri Emes asks is like this. The Gemara says that when it was good in the world to put on a jacket and whatever and daven that way, when it was tsaros, he took off his coat, clasped his hand and davened. But he asks, isn't there a halacha of Hichon L'Kras L'Kech Yisrael? You have to prepare yourself for davening. So how was he mekayim the preparation for davening? So the Emory Emes says, a yid in tzoris, and realizing that he's in tzoris, and he has to go to Hashem to ask him for what he needs, is the biggest preparation for tefillah.
So why one case was there in Misatev, and the other case he wasn't Misatev?
Because it matters if it was good times or bad times. In good times he was, and bad times he didn't have to, because the tzoris was the preparation. And he wanted to show that he's just desperate. Says the Gemara, Rav Chazal Rav Hamnuna, Rav Asura Rav Hamnuna, the Kamarach Mitzulusai. They spent a lot of time in davening. Omar, Menichin Chaya Olam, he's leaving Chaya Olam, internal life, which means Torah, because Torah is Chaya Olam, Va'eskin B'Chaya Shah, and he's dealing with something which is for temporary life, because what do we do with tefillah? What we do with tefillah is we daven for Gezunt and for Panosa, so which is Chaya Shah. For who suffer? What did he think? Zman tefillah l'chud, v'zman Torah l'chud. Time for davening is separate from time for Torah. Just like there's a time for learning, there's a time for davening, and you have to do both. And the Mefarshim say, Zman tefillah l'chud, zman Torah l'chud. Just like every Jew understands that he has to daven every day, so Zman tefillah l'chud, just like a Jew knows he has to daven every day, Zman Torah l'chud, a Jew has to know that he has to have a time for Torah every day. There's a story with the Chassam Sofer, however. The Chassam Sofer, when he was young, used to daven very long. So he asked him, what about this Gemara? Menicha Chaya Olam, Vaiskim Chaya Shah. So the Chassam Sofer says, we learned the Gemara Masech the Brachis, that Kol HaMarech B'Tfilosoi, Marichon LaYom V'Shnoisov. Whoever spends a lot of time davening, he'll have long life. So he says, since I'm going to have a long life, I'll have time to make up the Torah I missed. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yirmi have a Yosuke made Rav Zaira. Rav Yirmi was sitting by Rav Zaira, and they were learning. Noglet Sluyei, the time for davening came. Rav Yirmi was rushing to go to daven. Karlei Reb Zeira. So Reb Zeira said about him, the pasuk says in Mishlei, Meiser Osnai Mishmaya Taira, somebody who stops to listen Taira, Gam Tchilas Teva, his tefillah is not accepted either. It's an abadimation. Somebody's learning, you should not interrupt the learning to daven. But the Mefarshim will explain, and we'll see this tomorrow more, this is only for somebody who's Tarasai Yimnasai. Somebody's Tarasai Yimnasai should not interrupt his learning for davening. We, who don't learn all the time anyway, have to, of course, daven and daven tefillah b'tzibur. There's a beautiful vart from the Gra on this pasuk in Mishlei. He asks a question. The pasuk says, "Meiser ozna mishmaya Torah." He takes away his ear from listening to Torah. Gam tefillas teves tefillas abomination. Why does it say? Why does the Torah? Why does the pasuk pick his ears? Is the ear the limb of the body somebody uses when he learns? So he says like this. A lot of times people learn, but they go to a shir and they don't want to go to a shir. They say, "You know, we already heard this. We learned the daf yomi last cycle. We don't have to hear it again." So the pasuk says, "Meiser ozna mishmaya Torah." Somebody who doesn't want to come to the shir, who doesn't want to hear the Torah again, Hashem could take the same attitude to us also. I heard this person daven already. I don't have to hear him again. So if you don't want to hear the Torah again, chas v'shalom, Hashem doesn't want to hear your tefillah again. So we learned in the Mishnah. We go back to our Mishnah that once a person, when the time for mincha comes, should preferably daven versus going to doing a din Torah. But once he starts the din Torah, and that's what all the issues that we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, he doesn't have to interrupt. He should finish the din Torah and daven mincha afterwards. So before you go further, there's something I saw a Yerushalmi, which is an incredible Yerushalmi. It's related to the Mishnah more than this Gemara, but I want to repeat it. A Shaila. Let's say somebody has a minute kavua that every Friday afternoon he learns with his children or his grandchildren. He tests them on what they learned that week. And he forgot of his appointment and he went to the mikveh, or he went to take a bath. And then he realizes, oi, I have my appointment with my son, my grandson. So if you learn the Gemara we learned yesterday, we're learning today, he's certainly ready in the mikveh, he's certainly in the bath, he doesn't have to stop. In his chilu, we learned Eimav Sikin. So the Yishalmi quotes a story, unbelievable story. There was somebody who had an appointment to learn with his grandson on Friday afternoon, and he forgot, and he went to the mikveh, to the merchatz, and then he realized, oi, I'm supposed to learn with my grandson. So he said, I'm getting dressed, I'm going to learn. So they asked him, well, what about our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Mishchila em afsikin. So he said, the inyan of learning with a child or a grandchild, which is like Ilu Kibla Tarim Sinai, when we learn with our children and grandchildren, that is even more than everything in the Mishnah. For davening, you don't have to go back to daven, finish your merchatz. But for learning with your children or your grandchildren, the Yerushalmi says, stop, go learn, and then come back. So we learned, but the Din Torah, we said, once you started, you continue, and then you'll daven afterwards. What is called starting a Din Torah? Rav Yimri of Yoina. Charam Mishisatva de Yona, from when the Yona put on the Talaisim. As Rashi explains, they used to wear a talis when they went into Din Torah, in order that they should be able to concentrate, that they only were looking at the people at the Din Torah and nothing else. From when the Baladinim begin saying their tainus. For like Pligi, there's really no disagreement. If they're ready doing Din Torah, so they don't put on the talis again. So what's the beginning of Din Torah? When the litigants start saying their positions. The first Din Torah, when is it considered that the Din Torah begins? When they put on the talisim. Rav Ami, have yasv v'garasi ben amuda. They used to sit between the pillars of the Beis Medrash. That's where they learned, because they wanted to learn the Beis Medrash, but they wanted to learn in somewhat of a secluded area. However, v'kol shata v'shata, every hour, have a tapcha ibrid dash, they used to give a clap on the doorpost. V'amri ikad isle dina, if anybody has a Din Torah, leil v'laisi, he should come to the Din Torah. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda v'Rav v'Rafun have a yasa v'dina kol yuma. They sat in the entire whole day. Have a kacholosh lebayu. So the Gemara says that they were weak. We'll learn Pash Peshat. Rashi has two Peshat. The Pash Peshat is they were weak. They got tired from the entire. Turn over Rav Chibar of Difti. So Rav Chibar of Difti told him, it says in Pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yamin Moshe Ma'om HaMoshe, the people stood by Moshe Menabarik at Arif. They stood by Moshe Rabbeinu all day, from the morning to the evening, for din Torahs. Is the question that Moshe Rabbeinu all he did was din Torahs all day? So the Pashup Shad is Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu. He taught us the Torah. So he had a job of teaching Klal Yisrael Torah. He didn't have time just to do din Torahs. Or another Pashat is like this. Torah Soy, the Gemara says, his Torah. Every Jew has an obligation to learn. Every Jew has an obligation to mechadish Torah. And if a Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in the Torah all day, when will he have a chance to learn for himself? Loimelach, the Pasuk teaches us, Kol Dayan Shadon Din Emes Lamitoi. If a Dayan does a Din Emes Lamitoi, what's Pshat Emes Lamitoi? A true for its. So Taisha says, Lafuki Din Maruma, to exclude a non honest Din Torah. So all the Mefarshim explain, we're talking about a person that's not honest. So the few pshatim. One pshat that Taisha says, not here, but Taisha says in Masechta Sanhedrin, is like this. Sometimes you have witnesses. We know Apishnei Edom Yakum Dover. So the two witnesses came in and they told us this happened. But the Dayan is smart enough to see that they're not really saying the truth. So what should the Dayan do? Should he go with the witnesses, the two witnesses said, or should he go with the truth? The Gemara is teaching us Dayan Shadon Din Emes Lamitoi. A person always has to go with the truth, not look at anything else. Another pshat that I saw is also very beautiful. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Kulay Chayiv Zakai. What does that mean? If you have a court and the entire court decides that the party in trial is guilty, so the halacha is Zakai. We make him innocent. If everybody said he's guilty, then we'll say he's innocent. So let's say you're the last judge, and you know that the guy is guilty. But you know if you say he's guilty, he's going to walk, because you were the last judge, and it's going to be kulei chayiv. So what you'll do is you'll say he's innocent, and like that he'll taka be convicted. So Gemara says kol dayin shadon din emes lamitoi. You have to say the truth. You have to say what you believe, and whatever happens happens. So kol dayin shadon din emes lamitoi. Afilu sha'achas, even for 1 hour, malo lo v'kosov, it's considered kilanasa shutra l'kodesh baruch v'masav reishas, as if he's God's partner in the world. K'siv hoch, because it says here by Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yam ra'om al Moshe min ha'boike v'ara orev, k'siv hosom, v'yair v'yadboike yoyim echad. So, just like by Brias Ha'olam, it says v'yair v'yadboike, the exact same language. Why? Because it says in Pirkei Avos, the three things the world stand on, al emes, v'al adin, Shalom. So when you have emes and you have din, and then when the two parties make peace, you'll have shalom when the truth comes out, so the world will have a kiyum. You're the person that's keeping the world standing.
That doesn't answer the question.
No, so now we're saying you only did it for an hour a day.
Oh.
Or you only spent an hour a day. The question is a different question, which you should ask. We know the parish in the Torah of Yisroi. This is a very interesting question. Yisroi came to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Novel Tibol. You're going to fall away. Why? Because Gamata v'kam kolam didn't tire us all day. We just learned it was only an hour a day. So what's the big deal? It's only an hour a day. So what's the novelty, boy? What's Yisrael complaining? So the only answer I saw to this question is the answer I saw from the Satmar Rebbe. It's a very cute answer. He says like this. He says, it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu only spent an hour a day in the Dintaira. But he didn't have a kvudiga hour. He didn't have a set hour for that time. Sometimes it was in the morning, sometimes it was in the evening, sometimes in the afternoon. He was a busy man. The people did not know when Moshe Rabbeinu would be available. So they stood outside his oil all day, not knowing when he'll be opening up. So novel tibol kol ha'am, everybody's going to fall away because they're spending a whole day waiting, even though you're only spending an hour a day. There's another pshat that I saw from the Manistrishan Rebbe. Very interesting pshat. The Gemara says, Rav Chisda Rav Huna, have yasu b'dinah kol yoyma. They sat in the Taurus all day. Have kachol shlabayu. They had chalisha sadas. They said, what kind of people are these Jews? They did Taurus all day. So they felt bad. What kind of yidna are these? That they have din Taurus all day. So what they answered him? Tell him, Rav Chinah b'deftoi, this is nothing new. V'yamarai ma'moshe. This is already for Moshe Rabbeinu's time that they had din Taurus by Klal Yisrael all day. That's the way it is. It's nothing new. Continues the Gemara, and masa yoshim b'din. Till when could they sit in the entire, did the Yonim sit in the entire? So, in those days, they had one meal in the day, and usually it was in the middle of the day, as we'll learn. So, Amar Rav Sheshis, Azman Suda, until the time that they eat, which we'll see is about the fifth, sixth hour of the day. Amar of Chama Maikra, the Ksiv, Eilecha Arat Shemak Chanar, woe is to your land that your king is a youngster, V'serech V'baiki Yoichlu, and your ministers eat in the morning. They shouldn't be eating. They should be doing their tyrus. Ashrecha Arat, wonderful is the land, Shemachecha Ben Chayim, you have kings who are free people, V'serech V'es Yoichlu, they eat in the right time, V'gvara V'loi B'shesi, they spend the morning in Dinei Torah, not just drinking wine. Tanabon, so Gemara Taka talks about eating times. Shana Shana, a person who eats the first hour of the day, Machaludim, cannibals, they ate in the first hour of days. Shnia, the second hour of days, Machalistim. These were robbers who don't work by day. They did all their work at night. So they can't get up as early as the Ludim because they worked at night, but they don't have anything to do all day, so they ate by the second hour. Shlishis, the third hour, is Machal Yoshim. People who didn't work, they inherited all their money. Revius is Machal Pa'alim, workers. Chamish is Machal Kal Adam. The fifth hour is everybody else. Ask the Gemara, Eini, it's not like that. Amar Papa, Revius is Matsud al Kal Adam. The fourth hour is when everybody eats. Revius Taka corrects itself to Gemara. Machal Kal Adam. It's the time where everybody eats. Chamishis Machal Pa'alim. The fifth hour is when the laborers eat. Shishis is Machal Tamid Chamim. That's when Tamid Chamim should eat. Mekav Ve'elach, if you eat afterwards, Kizarech Evin Chamas. It's like throwing a rack into a flask, but you keep wine. So Rashi says two pshat. The one pshat is, if you have a bottle of wine, and you throw a rack in, you haven't done anything, because all you did is raise the level of wine, but you don't have any more wine. Another pshat is, some of the good wine could spill out. So it's bad to eat later. Amr Abaya, however, when is that said? Loya Moron, El Loy Tom Mida B'tzafra. If you didn't eat breakfast. And the Mefarshim say Tom means you have to eat. Ava Tom Mida B'tzafra. If you ate something, less lumba, it's not so geferlich if you eat late. So first of all, a few things. First of all, the question is, how do we, let's say, when we talk about Shah Chamisha Shah Shishis, we already said this in Masechta Brachos, it means Shah Zmanis, the fifth hour of the day, or the sixth hour of the day, according to when Chatzos is. So the question is, if a person davens on Shabbos at a 9 o'clock minyan, and he comes home, let's say, at 12, certainly in the winter, that's after the Shah Shishis, it's after Chatzos. And we don't eat before davening. So the Gemara says you're not supposed to do that. So how do we do that? So the Paiskim say, Shah Shishis over here is not counted in the day, Chatzos. It's Shah Shishis for when you get up. So if you get up late Shabbos morning, and you only eat after, as long as before the sixth hour from when you get up, you're alright. The Gra says, this is the Makar, how we know that you should wait 6 hours between Milchigs and Fleishigs. Because they used to eat a Suda in the morning, and when was the next Suda? 6 hours later. So we see, Bein Suda la Suda, which is the Shia you have to wait from Milchigs to Fleishigs, is 6 hours. This is the Makar for the 6 hours. Another pshat I saw in the Gemara is like this, that if a person already fasted till 6 hours in the day, so Gemara says you might as well finish the day and get credit for a fast. And that the Gemara says, you didn't eat anything in the morning. So you already fasted till Chatzos, finish the day and you have credit. If you already ate in the morning, so you won't get credit for today for a fast, so less lumba, you might as well eat anyway. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Adbar Hava. Mispal Adam Tfilos Beis HaMerchatz. A person is allowed to daven in a Beis HaMerchatz. So before we begin the Gemara, we have to just describe, Rashi describes, how the Beis HaMerchatz looked in those times. There were three rooms. We'll talk about the rooms as a person enters the Beis HaMerchatz. The first room is a room where primarily everybody was already dressed. They were just finishing walking off the coats, combing their hair. The middle room is where people got dressed and undressed. And the inside room is where you had the actual mikvah. Meisvei. So it says a braisa. Hanichnas to Beis HaMerchatz. Somebody comes into Beis HaMerchatz. Makam shebnei adam amdin levushim. In the room where people are all dressed. Yesh lo mikvah tefillah. He's allowed to daven. He's allowed to learn. Vein tzarach lem shel shalom. He's certainly allowed to say shalom to somebody else. Umniach tefillin. He's allowed to put out tefillin in that room. Vein tzarach lem shein achayot. And certainly he doesn't have to remove the tefillin. Makam shebnei adam amdin arum levushim. In the room where people stand dressed and undressed. Yesham shel shalom. You are allowed to say shalom. However, ain't shem mikvah tefillah. You're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to daven. Vein achayot tefillin. You don't take off your tefillin. However, ain't a milchah tefillah. You're not allowed to put on your tefillin in that room. Makam shnei adam oimdim erumim, in the inside room where people stand undressed, ain sham shalom, you're not allowed to say shalom. Ven tzachlam mikra tefillah, you're certainly not allowed to daven or learn there. V'chayot tefillin, you have to remove your tefillin. Ven tzachlam mishay menichan, you're certainly not allowed to put them on. So Gemara is learning that when Rav Adis said that you're allowed to daven in a base of merchetz, it's any place he's not allowed to. And for the Gemara, Ki kamar Rav Adibar hava the merchetz shem v'adam. There's nobody else in the merchetz. That's why you're allowed to daven. Ask the Gemara. V'amar Rav Yosef bar Chanina merchetz shamru, whatever halacha we said regarding a merchetz api shein by adam, it makes no difference if the other people there or not. Similarly, basic kisei shamru, when we said you're not allowed to learn or daven in a bathroom api shein by tzoya, even if it's clean. So we're back to our question. How could Rav Adah say you could daven the base of merchatz? Al kikam av Rav Adah b'chadati. It's a new merchatz that was never used. Ask the Gemara. V'mabai b'alei l'Ravina. Ravina asked the question. His mina l'beis kisei, you're building a house, and you designated a room that this is going to be the bathroom, but you never actually use this for bathroom. Mahu. Does that room have a din of a bathroom or not? What's the shayla? Yei zimun. Is designation make it into the room? Or yein zimun? Or not? And Ravina never answered it. From here we see that there ain't Zimun. Just designation is not enough. Because Lav Hu Adin L'Merchat, because ostensibly a Merchat has the same din as a Besa Kisei. And it says Gemara Loi. Dil Mashani Besa Kisei Demos. In a Besa Kisei, which is used for an unclean purpose. So as soon as you designate the room is Besa Kisei. Merchat, which is not such an unclean use, designation alone won't make it a merchatz. So we learned, ain sham shel shalom. In the merchatz proper, you're not allowed to say shalom. Mesai le'er of hamnuna mishum de'ula, d'ama, osl adam shitin shalom chaver beis ha-merchatz. A person's not allowed to say shalom to his chaver in the beis ha-merchatz, mishum shenemar, v'yikru lo'i Hashem shalom. Hashem's name is shalom, and you're not allowed to say Hashem's name in the merchatz. Ask the Gemara, Elam Ata Hamunusa Nami Yasser. It should be Osir, it should be prohibited to say the word Nemon, the basic Kisei, the Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Okela Nemon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered, is called Nemon, so you should not be allowed to say Nemon in the bathroom, in the Merchatz, in the bathroom. V'chitei Machanami, if you tell me Taka, you're not allowed to. V'am Rabba Machashi Amarav Cham Vagur Yamarav, Shor Lameh Hamunusa Basic Kisei. You're allowed to say, in the basic Kisei, so if you're saying now, let us say any name of Hashem in the basic Kisei or in the Merchatz, how can you say Nemon? Answers the Gemara: Hasam Shem Gufei LaIkra. Hasam Shem Gufei LaIkra Hachi. Hashem is not called Nemon. The only thing we say, the Metargamin, we describe Hashem El Kim Mehemna, a faithful God. What's that, a faithful God? Either because we're supposed to have faith in God, or you could trust that what Hashem says will happen. Hacha Shem Gufri Ikra Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actual name is Shalom. The Ksiv, the Yikra Lo Elkim Hashem Shalom. Hashem's name is Shalom. And that's Takad Alocha. Hashem's name is Shalom. And that's why you're not allowed to, in a bathroom or in a base of mircha, to the mikveh, say Shalom Aleichem to somebody else. What is the Shaila? The first Shaila is, what about if you have a friend whose name is Shalom? Or you're talking to somebody in the mikveh, and you tell him there's shalom in the world, there's peace in the world. So you're not using shalom, you're not greeting him with the name shalom. Are you allowed to use, are you allowed to say the shem shalom or not in the mikveh? The Taz says you're allowed to. The Magen Avraham says you're not allowed to. The Mishnah Berurah says the halacha is like the Taz, that you could be lenient. But he says a person who wants to do the right thing should avoid saying the word shalom in the base, in a merchatz under all circumstances, even when he's not saying shalom aleichem. Stam, the Sefer Chassidim says that the right thing is not to talk in a mikveh altogether. He says a school of arichas yamim, a school of a long life, is not to talk in the merchatz. Or basically, say for sure, we learned the Gemara Masechta Brachos. That's Medina the Gemara. Then we learned, now another shaila. What about if you're writing a letter? And you're writing the letter, shalom. Are you allowed to throw out that letter? So the halach is, if you're writing shalom in the letter to greet the person you're writing to, you're not allowed to throw out that letter. Because shalom is shem Hashem. If you're writing in the letter the word shalom again, because you mean peace, or because the person you're writing to whose name is shalom, so we have a machloikis, ritva and ran. The ritva is machmer, the ran is mekel. The ritva says that if your kavana wasn't to mention shalom, to greet the person, then you don't have to write, you can't throw it out. Now the question is, why, here we're seeing that Hashem, Sholem is Mamish Hashem of Hashem. The question is, why is Sholem name of Hashem? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat I saw is that the Gemara says, Shol Matronin to Achas. The one Matronin asked, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what does he do? What's he doing now? He created our world. There's nothing new. Everything is created. So Gemara says he's Yoishev and Mezavig Zvugim. He puts couples together, husband and wife. He makes Shalom. He makes couples. So all HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is Shalom. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Shalom, that's what he's doing. That's what his name is. But there's even deeper pshat. You know, if you put two letters of Yud together, what do you have? A Yud with a Yud next to each other is a Shem Hashem. When you have two Jews that are together, then you have a Shem Hashem. V'ahavta l'rayacha kamoicha, if you love your friend, what do you have? And the Hashem. Then you have a Shem Hashem. Two Yudin together. V'atam advekim, if you, Klai Yisrael, advekim to each other, are connected to each other, what do you have? V'ashem alakeichem. Then you have Hashem. So when you talk about Shalom, that there's peace between Jews, then you have Hashem. You have Shalom. Continues the Gemara. V'am Rav Machasi, Amar Rav Chama Bagur, Amar Rav. Hanois matan al chaveroi, if somebody gives his friend a gift, tzarech leidiyoi. He has to let him know. Shenemar, ledas kani Hashem mekadeshchem. You should know that I am Hashem that made you holy. This is a pasuk when Moshe was told to Klal Yisrael about Shabbos, as we'll learn in the Gemara. And Tosfos explains, there's a difference between matana and tzedakah. Matana is a gift. So when I give somebody a gift, if the recipient does not know that I gave him a gift, what's the point of a gift? The point of a gift is to engender goodwill. But if the recipient doesn't know that he's getting a gift, so what kind of goodwill will there be? He doesn't know he got a gift. Moreover, some people don't want to get gifts. So I give a person a gift and he may be offended. If I tell him and I get him to accept it, then the gift will accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. Tzedakah, Tosfos says, is different. Tzedakah is charity. Charity is an inyan of matan b'seiser that should be given in the most concealed manner. And if you don't know who you're giving it to, and the person who receives it doesn't know he's getting it, that is the highest level of tzedakah. Because tzedakah and matana are not synonymous. However, I saw a very big chiddush from Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel says like this. It's very interesting. You know, on Purim, we have a chiv to give tzedakah. But it's not called tzedakah. What is it called? Matana slav yoinim. So he says, although all year round, the tzedakah you give, the best tzedakah like we just described is the tzedakah that's matan v'seiser. On Purim, according to him, not everybody passing this way, since the pasuk in the Megillah calls it matanos, and we're learning now in the Gemara, matanos you have to know about, so there is an inyan that you should know at least who you're giving it to, so it should be considered a matana. So, nice matana chaver tzarech lo'idiyai. Ask the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochi, Ladas kanei Hashem mekachchem, Omlai kodesh baruch l'moisha. Matana toive yeshli b'beis genozai. I have a wonderful gift in my treasure house, b'shabbos shema. And its name is Shabbos, v'ani mevakesh litn l'Yisrael. And I want to give it to Klal Yisrael, leich v'idiyah. Let them know what I'm doing. Mikana Rav Shimon Gamliel, from here Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Hanoisim pas l'tinok, if somebody gives a gift to a child, a piece of bread, tzarech leidiyah l'imai. You have to let the mother know. Ask the mamai avadlei. They didn't have telephones. So you couldn't pick up the phone and call the mother and say, I gave your child a gift. They didn't have email and fax either. So what do? Amar bai shof le mishcha. You put oil. Umala le kuchla. You put oil around the child's eye. So the child's going to come home, and the mother's going to see it has oil around its head, around its eye. It's going to ask, where did this come from? So say, Mr. So-and-so did it. Oh, what did Mr. So-and-so do? Oh, he also gave me a gift. Ask the Gemara, Va'idna de Cheshin al Kshafim. People were concerned that if somebody put oil around the child's eyes, it meant Kshafim. My, what do we do? Amar Papa Shafley Ma'isa Hamin. What you do is, from whatever you gave him, take a little of that and rub it around his eye. So if the mother comes home and sees chocolate on the kid's face, she'll say, where did you get the chocolate from? And she'll say, Rabbi Elephant gave it to me. Aini. If you give a gift to somebody, you don't have to tell him. Shnemar, or Moshe lo yadik yikarn arpanav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Moshe Rabbeinu's face radiate, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know until they told him. medabri itoy. Answer more like kasha. Hava misal David legluy. Something that you'll find out. You don't have to tell him because it's going to be inevitable. Hava misal David legluy. If he's not going to find out, you have to let him know. Ask the Gemara. What are we talking about? We're talking about Shabbos. So Shabbos, they're also going to know. But Shabbos, David legluy. Shabbos, they're going to find out. Answers the Gemara. Matan tzchar le'avad legluy. He's going to know about Shabbos, but he's not going to know the schar of Shabbos. So what Moshe Rabbeinu told him was the schar of Shabbos, which they wouldn't have known otherwise. So the obvious question is, we have Taryag mitzvahs. We don't find that we're told the schar of any mitzvahs. The schar will be Lailam Haba. This mitzvah, we're told the schar in this world. Why? So I saw a lot of answers. One of the answers is like this. That everything else, every other schar mitzvah hay al malecha. There is no schar in this world. The schar comes in the next world. Shabbos, you have the schar in this world. What's the schar in this world? Shabbos itself. That's the biggest schar. So what schar aren't we told about? We're not told about a schar, it's going to be in the next world. Why should I be told about something in the next world? But something that I'll enjoy in this world, that's schar we're told. But then I saw another pshat. It's a little on the Chassidish Shemaisa, but we have a little time. There's a story where Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditshava, it's known that whatever he got, he gave away right away for tzedakah. If somebody gave him something, he immediately gave away for tzedakah. So one time, somebody gave him a very expensive gold piece. Gave him a very expensive gold piece, and he had it on his table. And a poor person came to the house, and the poor person took the gold piece. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditshava's daughter walked in, and she said, "Tata, where's the gold piece?" She said, "That poor person must have taken it." He says, "You know what that gold piece is worth? It was worth a fortune. We can't let him have it." So they went running after. They went running after the poor person. She was running after him to tell him, "This is not what my father meant to give you." He was running after him to tell him, "You should know what you took is very valuable. Make sure that you get its full value." Moshe Rabbeinu got such a wonderful gift called Shabbos. But we may not know to appreciate the Shabbos. Lodas, you have to know. The reason we had to be told what Shabbos is because we have to be told the value of Shabbos to truly appreciate the Shabbos. But the Mefarshim say, it says, Matana Tavi Yeshli Bebeis Genozai. It's in Hashem's treasure house. It's not in Hashem's treasure house, it's by us. Why is it called Bebeis Genozai? So Mefarshim say, the Chassidish Sforim say that every Shabbos is a new Shabbos. Every Shabbos, Hashem gives us a new Shabbos, and that's why He takes out from His treasure house a new Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Rav Chisda have a knock of yadei tati minasa de tura. You know, a kohen we have to give matnas kuna. Matnas kuna, there are 24 matnas kuna. One of the matnas kuna is reishis hageis. The first shearing a wolf from an animal, you have to give to a kohen. Rashi and Tosfos both explain here that Rav Chisda lived in Chutz Laaretz. And there's a machloikis of matnas kuna applying chutz laaretz. We nowadays, says Rashi, passing like a beloyi, the matnas kuna don't apply in chutz laaretz. But in Rav Chisda's time, they still gave matnas kuna and chutz laaretz. So Rav Chisda was a kohen, had two things of wool that had received of matnas kuna. Oma, command the osiv omli shmatz chadata. Whoever will come and tell me something new, mishmei the Rav. And from the name of Rav, Yehivne Le Nehile, I will give him one of these portions. Amalei Rav Bamachasya. So Rav Machasya came and told him, Hachem Rav, this is what you heard from your Rebbe Rav. And to him, what he heard from his Rebbe was very special. Hanoisim Natan Al Chaveroi. If you give your friend a gift, Tzorach Leidiyoi. Gemara we just learned. Shenemar Ladas Kani Hashem Mekadishchem. Yovnele. So he gave it to him. You kept the deal. You taught me something that I learned from my Rebbe. Are the teachings of Rav so special to you? In. So he said, absolutely. Rav. So he said, I'll tell you something else the Rav said. Milsa al-bishayu yakira. Milsa means a wool suit. A person who's accustomed to wearing a type of a beggar, a type of a garment, he appreciates that garment. A person who's not used to it, if you call to a person that's not used to wearing a wool suit, so he doesn't appreciate a good wool suit. But if you go to a person who's used to something, he appreciates it. The same thing here. You're a Talmud of Rav. Since you're a Talmud of Rav, you specifically appreciate memories of Rav. Amar Rav Hachi, he said this is what Rav said, Basraisa Difle Mekamaisa. The second teaching you told me the name of Rav is more special to me than the first one. We have in the Kitnach Rina, if I would have had another thing of wool, Yaevna Lach, I would have given it to you. I just don't have another one. The second one is more special to me. Why was the second one more special? So Mefarshim say two reasons. One reason is the first one he said, Amanas L'Kabel Pras. He said it, he knew he was going to get a reward for saying it. The second one, when he said it, he didn't say it on Amanas L'Kabel Pras. He said it because he wanted to share with him a teaching of Rav. Torah that Shloya Amanas L'Kabel Pras, that you don't do to get financial reward, is more chashiv. Another pshat I saw like this. The first teaching that he said is something that applies to everybody. Hanois matan l'chavero. If somebody gives you a gift, tzarach leidei, you have to let him know. The second teaching was something that applied to him specifically, that you enjoy something you learned from your Rebbe. So he said, that's why I like it better, because it's more specific and relevant specifically to me. Continues the Gemara. A father should not treat one child different than any other child. Because of the value of two coins, Yaakov made a coat for all his children. But we know Yosef got a ksonus pasim. Rashi explains what was the difference between the ksonus pasim and all everybody else, that they had on the cuff some extra ornamentation. That's the pasim. That was all the different ones. But because of that, Niskana by Achav, his brothers got jealous. We ended up in Mitzrayim because of that thing. So Taishas asks, what do you mean because of that? Hashem told Avram Avinu, that we're going to have to go into Golus. So it wasn't because of that. So Taishas says, if not for that, it wouldn't be such a hard Golus. The reason we had such a hard Golus is because of this. But the Mefarshim will explain, and this is Halach Lemaisa. Even though we're learning here that a father should not play favorites, what does that mean he shouldn't play favorites? If all children are the same, he should treat all children equally. But let's say you have a child that needs something extra. Then, of course, that child, every child should get what it needs. What's the Raya? The Raya is Yosef alone. Let's think about it. Nobody knows more what playing favoritism means than Yosef. Yet we find that when the Shvadim came to Mitzrayim and Yosef's giving them gifts after he revealed himself, what did he do? He gave Binyamin more. Didn't he learn his lesson? But he realized that Binyamin needed more. First of all, because Binyamin didn't have a mother, he didn't have any brothers. Binyamin came to Mitzrayim not really willingly. So Yosef realized that Binyamin needed that extra attention. So because he realized that Yosef needed, that Binyamin realized that extra attention, then of course he allowed to give him extra. We learned the Gemara of a nice matan l'chaver tzarech l'adiyah. So I want to tell you an interesting shaila that I saw la'loch l'maisa. Here it says you have to tell a person when you're giving him a gift. Otherwise you have a problem accepting the gift. So there's a shaila like this. There's a person called Reuven. Rav Zilberstein talks about the shaila. Reuven was going through a difficult time. So he had a friend whose name was Shimon. They had a friend called Shimon and a friend Levi. Levi owned a very nice summer home. So Shimon told Levi, you know what? You would rent out your summer home for whatever. I'll pay you for the month. And you call Reuven and say, you know what? I'm giving you my summer home for the summer. Go and enjoy it. Have a good time. So they did it. Levi called Reuven. Reuven stayed in Levi's house over the summer, thinking that it was Levi that really had invited him, while Shimon paid Levi the rent. At the end of the summer, Reuven enjoyed the house. He went and he bought Levi two candelabras. Thinking that this was Levi's hope. Then, Levi did him a great gift. But the truth is, Levi did nothing. So now what's he supposed to do? What's Levi supposed to do? To take the candelabras, he doesn't deserve them. He didn't do anything. He got paid. That Shimon should get the candelabras, we just learned. So Reuven would have to tell Shimon, but we don't want Reuven to tell Shimon. So what happens here? Reuven can't tell Shimon that we don't want Reuven to know that Shimon paid for him staying in the house for free. So we can't take the candelabras from Reuven and give. So what do you do? So Rav Zilberstein paskens that Levi should keep the candelabras, and they deduct from what Shimon will give him that amount, that value from the rent that Shimon will pay him for the summer. And there's a question. Here we learn a nice matamah chaver tzarech l'idiyoy. You have to be honest. So I saw a very interesting shayla. We know Moshe Rabbeinu was Yecheved's son. Here, and we find that Bathsheba picked up Moshe Rabbeinu from the stream and then looked for a nursing mother. And who did she take? She took Yecheved. And Yecheved got paid for it. How did Yecheved get paid for it? It was her son. A mother has to nurse her son for free. Didn't she have the obligation to tell Bathsheba? So some Mepharshim say that Bathsheba really knew it was Yecheved's son, but they had a deal that, you know, she would pay him, that they shouldn't realize that he was a Jewish child. Other Mepharshim say like this: Bathsheba told Yecheved, I want you to eat well, so Moshe Rabbeinu should have good milk. You should feed him good milk. She normally wouldn't have been able to eat so well. She was a Eved, they were a Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael was of Tzaras. They paid, so she had to get paid for the extra money she spent for feeding Moshe Rabbeinu better. The Gemara, just one more thing, we'll end with this. The Gemara began about learning Torah, Menichin Chaya Olam, V'oiskin B'Chaya Shah. People give up learning Torah and they're busy with Chaya Shah, with davening. From here we see the supremacy of learning Torah. So from here you see that if there's two causes to give to, a cause that involves learning Torah, and a cause which is just a shul, I may get in trouble for saying this, learning Torah comes first. Because Menichin L'chaya Olam V'oiskin B'Chaya Shah. Davening is not as chashuv as Torah, unless the Paiskim say, if the shuls where they learn, then it's fine. Then it's everything, then it's Torah also. But the Paiskim also say, if you're going to be able to, if it's easier to collect money for a yeshiva than it is for a basic knesses, then you should give money to the basic knesses, because the yeshiva will be able to get the money elsewhere. We have to know if that's true.